Hare Krishna. This is a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 29, Texts 11 through 16. The Manifestation of Unadulterated Devotional Service and Performing Activities in Pure Devotion. Texts 11 and 12. Lord Kapiladev continued. The manifestation of unadulterated devotional service is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is residing in everyone's heart. Just as the water of the Ganges flows naturally down toward the ocean, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows towards the Supreme Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The basic principle of this unadulterated, pure devotional service is love of Godhead. Madguna Shruti Matrena means, just after hearing about the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These qualities are called nirguna. The Supreme Lord is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. Therefore, he is attractive to the pure devotee. There is no need to practice meditation to attain such attraction. The pure devotee is already in the transcendental stage, and the affinity between him and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is natural and is compared to the Ganges water flowing towards the sea. The flow of the Ganges water cannot be stopped by any condition. Similarly, a pure devotee's attraction for the transcendental name, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Godhead cannot be stopped by any material condition. The word avicina, without interruptions, is very important in this connection. No material condition can stop the flow of the devotional service of a pure devotee. The word ahaituki means without reason. A pure devotee does not render loving service to the Personality of Godhead for any cause or for any benefit, material or spiritual. This is the first symptom of unalloyed devotional service. Anyabhilasita sunyam. He has no desire to fulfill by rendering devotional service. Such devotional service is meant for the Purusottama, the Supreme Personality, and not for anyone else. Sometimes pseudo-devotees show devotion to many demigods, thinking the forms of the demigods to be the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead's form. It is specifically mentioned herein, however, that bhakti, devotional service, is meant only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, Vishnu, or Krishna, not for anyone else. Avyavahita means without cessation. A pure devotee must engage in the service of the Lord 24 hours a day without cessation. His life is so molded that at every minute and every second, he engages in some sort of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another meaning of the word avyavahita is that the interest of the devotee and the interest of the Supreme Lord are on the same level. The devotee has no interest but to fulfill the transcendental desire of the Supreme Lord. Such spontaneous service to the Supreme Lord is transcendental and is never contaminated by the modes of material nature. These are the symptoms of pure devotional service which are freed from all contamination of material nature. Text 13. A pure devotee does not accept any kind of liberation. Salokya, Sharshti, Samipya, Swarupya, or Ekatva, even though they are offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya teaches us how to execute pure devotional service out of spontaneous love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Shikshastika, he prays to the Lord, O Lord, I do not wish to gain from you any wealth, nor do I wish to have a beautiful wife, nor do I wish to have many followers. All I want from you is that life after life I may remain a pure devotee at your lotus feet. There is a similarity between the prayers of Lord Chaitanya and these statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya prays, in life after life, indicating that a devotee does not even desire the cessation of birth and death. The yogis and empiric philosophers desire cessation from the process of birth and death. But a devotee is satisfied even to remain in this material world and execute devotional service. It is clearly stated herein that a pure devotee does not desire ekatva, oneness with the Supreme Lord, as desired by the impersonalists, the mental speculators, and the meditators. To become one with the Supreme Lord is beyond the dream of a pure devotee. Sometimes he may accept promotion to the Vaikuntha planets to serve the Lord there, but he will never accept merging into the Brahman effulgence, which he considers worse than hellish. Such a katva, or merging into the effulgence of the Supreme Lord, is called kaivalya. But the happiness derived from kaivalya is considered by the pure devotee to be hellish. The devotee is so fond of rendering service to the Supreme Lord that the five kinds of liberation are not important to him. If one is engaged in pure, transcendental, loving service to the Lord, it is understood that he has already achieved the five kinds of liberation. When a devotee is promoted to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, he receives four kinds of facilities. One of these is Salokya, living on the same planet as the Supreme Personality. The Supreme Person, in his different plenary expansions, lives on innumerable Vaikuntha planets, and the chief planet is Krishna Loka. Just as within this material universe, the chief planet is the sun, in the spiritual world, the chief planet is Krishna Loka. From Krishna Loka, the bodily effulgence of Lord Krishna is distributed not only to the spiritual world, but to the material world as well. It is covered by matter, however, in the material world. In the spiritual world, there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets, and on each one, the Lord is the predominating deity. A devotee can be promoted to one such Vaikuntha planet to live with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Sharshti liberation, the opulence of the devotee is equal to the opulence of the Supreme Lord. Samipya means to be a personal associate of the Supreme Lord. In Swarupya liberation, the bodily features of the devotee are exactly like those of the Supreme Person, but for two or three symptoms found exclusively on the transcendental body of the Lord. Srivats, for example, the hair on the chest of the Lord, particularly distinguishes him from his devotees. A pure devotee does not accept these five kinds of spiritual existence, even if they are offered, and he certainly does not hanker after material benefits, which are all insignificant in comparison with spiritual benefits. When Prahlad Maharaj was offered some material benefit, he stated, "My Lord, I have seen that my father achieved all kinds of material benefits, and even the demigods were afraid of his opulence. But still, in a second, you have finished his life and all his material prosperity." For a devotee, there is no question of desiring any material or spiritual prosperity. He simply aspires to serve the Lord. That is his highest happiness. Text 14. By attaining the highest platform of devotional service, as I have explained, one can overcome the influence of the three modes of material nature and be situated in the transcendental stage, as is the Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sripad Sankaracharya, who is supposed to be the leader of the impersonalist school of philosophers, has admitted in the beginning of his comments on the Bhagavad Gita that Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is beyond the material creation. Except for him, everything is within the material creation. It is also confirmed in the Vedic literature that before the creation, there was only Narayan. Neither Lord Brahma nor Lord Shiva existed. Only Narayan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Krishna, is always in the transcendental position, beyond the influence of material creation. The material qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance cannot affect the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is called Nir Guna, freed from all tinges of material qualities. Here the same fact is confirmed by Lord Kapila. One who is situated in pure devotional service is transcendentally situated, as is the Lord. Just as the Lord is unaffected by the influence of the material modes, so too are his pure devotees. One who is not affected by the three modes of material nature is called a liberated soul, or Brahma-Bhuta soul. Brahma-Bhuta-Prasanatma is the stage of liberation. Aham Brahmasmi, I am not this body. This is applicable only to the person who constantly engages in the devotional service of Krishna and is thus in the transcendental stage. He is above the influence of the three modes of material nature. It is the misconception of the impersonalists that one can worship any imaginary form of the Lord, or Brahman, and at the end merge in the Brahman effulgence. Of course, to merge into the bodily effulgence, Brahman, of the Supreme Lord is also a liberation, as explained in the previous verse. A kattva is also liberation, but that sort of liberation is never accepted by any devotee. For qualitative oneness is immediately attained as soon as one is situated in devotional service. For a devotee, that qualitative equality, which is the result of impersonal liberation, is already attained. He does not have to try for it separately. It is clearly stated here that simply by pure devotional service, one becomes qualitatively as good as the Lord Himself. Text 15. Text 15. A devotee must execute his prescribed duties, which are glorious, without material profit. Without excessive violence, one should regularly perform one's devotional activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One has to execute prescribed duties according to his social position, as a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra. The prescribed duties of the four classes of men in human society are also described in the Bhagavad Gita. The activities of the Brahmins are to control the senses and to become simple, clean, learned devotees. The Kshatriyas have the spirit for ruling. They are not afraid of the battlefield, and they are charitable. The Vaishyas, or mercantile class of men, trade in commodities, protect cows, and develop agricultural produce. The Sudras, or laborer class, serve the higher classes because they themselves are not very intelligent. From every position, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Svakarmana tam abhyartya, one can serve the Supreme Lord by performing one's prescribed duty. It is not that only the Brahmins can serve the Supreme Lord and not the Sudras. Anyone can serve the Supreme Lord by performing his prescribed duty under the direction of a spiritual master or representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one should think that his prescribed duties are inferior. A Brahmin can serve the Lord by using his intelligence, and Kshatriyas can serve the Supreme Lord by using his military arts, just as Arjuna served Krishna. Arjuna was a warrior. He had no time to study Vedanta or other highly intellectual books. The damsels in Brajadam were girls born of the Vaishya class, and they engaged in protecting cows and producing agriculture. Krishna's foster father, Nanda Maharaj, and his associates were all Vaishyas. They were not at all educated, but they could serve Krishna by loving him and by offering everything to him. Similarly, there are many instances in which Chandalas, or those lower than Sudras, have served Krishna. Also, the sage Vidura was considered a Sudra because his mother happened to be a Sudra. There are no distinctions, for it is declared by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita that anyone engaged specifically in devotional service is elevated to the transcendental position without a doubt. Everyone's prescribed duty is glorious if it is performed in devotional service to the Lord without desire for profit. Such loving service must be performed without reason, without impediment, and spontaneously. Krishna is lovable, and one has to serve him in whatever capacity one can. That is pure devotional service. Another significant phrase in this verse is nati him srena, with minimum violence or sacrifice of life. Even if a devotee has to commit violence, it should not be done beyond what is necessary. Sometimes the question is put before us. You ask us not to eat meat, but you are eating vegetables. Do you think that is not violence? The answer is that eating vegetables is violence, and vegetarians are also committing violence against other living entities, because vegetables also have life. Non-devotees are killing cows, goats, and so many other animals for eating purposes, and a devotee, who is a vegetarian, is also killing. But here, significantly, it is stated that every living entity has to live by killing another living entity. That is a law of nature. Jivo jivasya jivanam. One living entity is the life for another living entity. But for a human being, that violence should be committed only as much as necessary. A human being is not to eat anything which is not offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jagna Sistashina Santa. One becomes freed from all sinful reactions by eating foodstuffs which are offered to Yajna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee, therefore, eats only prasad, or foodstuffs offered to the Supreme Lord. And Krishna says that when a devotee offers him foodstuffs from the vegetable kingdom with devotion, he eats that. A devotee is to offer to Krishna foodstuffs prepared from vegetables. If the Supreme Lord wanted foodstuffs prepared from animal food, the devotee could offer this. But the Lord does not order to do that. We have to commit violence. That is a natural law. We should not, however, commit violence extravagantly, but only as much as ordered by the Lord. Arjuna engaged in the art of killing, and although killing is, of course, violence, he killed the enemy simply on Krishna's order. In the same way, if we commit violence as it is necessary by the order of the Lord, that is called nati himsa. We cannot avoid violence, for we are put into a conditional life in which we have to commit violence. But we should not commit more violence than necessary, or than ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 16. The devotee should regularly see my statues in the temple, touch my lotus feet, and offer worshipable paraphernalia and prayer. He should see in the spirit of renunciation from the mode of goodness and see every living entity as spiritual. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Temple worship is one of the duties of a devotee. It is especially recommended for neophytes, but those who are advanced should not refrain from temple worship. There is a distinction in the manner of a neophyte and an advanced devotee appreciate the Lord's presence in the temple. A neophyte considers the Archavigraha, the statue of the Lord, to be different from the original personality of Godhead. He considers it a representation of the Supreme Lord in the form of a deity. But an advanced devotee accepts the deity in the temple as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does not see any difference between the original form of the Lord and the statue or archa form of the Lord in the temple. This is the vision of a devotee whose devotional service is in the highest stage of bhava, or love of Godhead. Whereas a neophyte's worship in the temple is a matter of routine duty. Temple deity worship is one of the functions of a devotee. He goes regularly to see the deity nicely decorated, and with veneration and respect, he touches the lotus feet of the Lord and presents offerings of worship, such as fruits, flowers, and prayers. At the same time, to advance in devotional service, a devotee should see other living entities as spiritual sparks, parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. A devotee is to offer respect to every entity that has a relationship with the Lord. Because every living entity originally has a relationship with the Lord as part and parcel, a devotee should try to see all living entities on the same equal level of spiritual existence. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, a pundit, one who is learned, sees equally a very learned Brahmin, a sudra, a hog, a dog, and a cow. He does not see the body, which is only an outward dress. He does not see the dress of a Brahmin, or that of a cow, or of a hog. He sees the spiritual spark, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. If a devotee does not see every living entity as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, he is considered Prakriti Bhakta, a materialistic devotee. He is not completely situated on the spiritual platform. Rather, he is in the lowest stage of devotion. He does, however, show all respect to the deity. Although a devotee sees all living entities on the level of spiritual existence, he is not interested in associating with everyone. Simply because a tiger is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord does not mean that we embrace him because of his spiritual relationship with the Supreme Lord. We must associate only with persons who have developed Krishna consciousness. We should befriend and offer special respect to persons who have developed in Krishna consciousness. Other living entities are undoubtedly parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, but because their consciousness is still covered and not developed in Krishna consciousness, we should renounce their association. It is said by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur that even if one is a Vaishnav, if he is not of good character, his company should be avoided, although he may be offered respect of a Vaishnav. Anyone who accepts Vishnu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is accepted as a Vaishnav, but a Vaishnav is expected to develop all the good qualities of the demigods. The exact meaning of the word sattvena is given by Sridhara Swami as being synonymous with dharhina, or patience. One must perform devotional service with great patience. One should not give up the execution of devotional service because one or two attempts have not been successful. One must continue. Sri Rupa Goswami also confirms that one should be very enthusiastic and execute devotional service with patience and confidence. Patience is necessary for developing confidence that Krishna will certainly accept me because I am engaging in devotional service. One has only to execute service according to the rules and regulations to ensure success.